What's going on, football fans? This is Danny Kelly here. I'm joined, as always, by Jackson Bevins, and you are listening to the Week 10 version of Deep Balls. It's a NFL picks podcast for fieldgoals.com. Jackson, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Last week wasn't so great for us. Jackson, you did a little bit better than I did. You ended up at 7-6 on the week to move your score to 82-50 straight up. That is in the 81st percentile, 81.7th percentile worldwide, and I believe tied for 19th in our group, which is 130-something people strong. I went under 500 this week. I went 6-7. My total now is 84-48 straight up, which is 88th percentile. And in the pickup group, that is tied for 13. Want to give a shout-out to Palm Harper's Seahawk and Betty Swallocks. Both moved ahead of some of the major players in our group this week. Trying to find who is the guy that was in first forever.
Maury Povich.
Maury Povich is now in third, tied for third. So he's only one off the lead, though.
The dream of the wire to wire is over. What a run!
That's too bad. Special shout outs to Mommy Unit, moved up to sixth overall. Let's see here. What did she have last week? She got 8 last week. I think the high score was 9, so that's pretty cool. And then also, let's see here, who else is in the front? We got CW6, Cubania, 16Q, Tommy Lee Jones, frown.jpg, a whole slew of people. Good job, everybody. Again, it just kind of makes it fun to follow along with a whole bunch of people that follow the podcast and probably talk to us on Twitter and all that and read us on Field Goal. So that's fun. What do you think, Jackson? What do you think of this week?
There's some really interesting games this week. We're starting to figure out some of these teams, I think. There's a lot of teams that are starting to look better than they had earlier in the season. And, obviously vice versa, but there's still a few teams that are surprising. I mean, I think the bane of my entire season has been Vikings games.
Yeah,
this year. They just keep winning games that I honestly think they have no business winning. So, there's still definitely some surprises, but 8 weeks into the season, you know, you look at even what the standings were like after 8 weeks last year versus what they were at the end of the season, and there's not a super high correlation. So there's a lot still to be learned. It's definitely a war of attrition from this this part of the season till the end. Mm-hmm. Injuries start to mount up and all that kind of thing. So, we don't know a lot yet, but it's definitely sets up for a bunch of interesting games this week.
Yeah, definitely. And with that said, let's just get right into this. Thursday night game could be a good one. It's a couple of AFC East teams, New York Jets and Buffalo. It's in New York. Obviously, the Bills are getting healthy. They finally got Tyrod Taylor back. They got Sammy Watkins back healthy. Carlos Williams is back, so that was big for them. Those three really did combine for a ton of offense last week for the Bills. And the same with the Jets. They're, looking good. Their defense is as strong as ever. Ryan Fitzgerald Patrick is still, doing enough to get them W's. And so what do you have in this game?
I've got the Jets. I think that with the way that Fitzpatrick's been playing, having those two receivers, especially Brandon Marshall, Chris Ivory has been as steady and productive as almost any running back in the NFL so far this season. So they've got an offense that they really haven't had in a very long time there, and something that is built to extend drives and control the clock and all of that. And they've been really good at getting leads this year. And once they do, it's kind of unbar the gates of hell for that defense, Todd Bowles sending everybody all the time. I do think the Bills are actually pretty well uniquely set up to kind of handle that. I think they only passed the ball, 12 times last week? And, that's something where if you can run the ball effectively, and they did with both LeSean McCoy and then after him, Carlos Williams, you can neutralize a lot of that. But in New York, I think the Jets have a more cohesive identity, which matters on a short week a lot. I do think they win, but if this game was in Buffalo, I'd be leaning pretty hard to, you know, or I'd be very tempted to lean the other way.
Yeah, to me, I totally agree. I think this is one of those games where it's two good teams, and you kind of just have to choose the home team almost. They're both kind of set up similarly. I think they're both very, very good defenses with, I wouldn't say subpar, but like mediocre offenses. And so it's kind of like an NFC West battle. I think it's going to be a lot of running, a lot of defense. The Jets really stopped the defense really well. So it's going to be an interesting one. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's interesting because our idea of these two teams going into the season was so much, you know, they'd be middling offenses at best and, you know, good defenses. And while the Jets have a good defense, they're fourth in DVOA, their offense is actually 11th and Buffalo's offense is 8th. So these are two teams that have actually moved the ball really, really well this year. And Buffalo's defense, surprisingly, is very middle of the pack at 16th. But that is trending up. That's an improvement from where they've been through the first half of the season. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they bring to the table on a short week. But I do think both these offenses are really getting undersold.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know if that's how does it break out in the passing offense and the rushing offense for those two teams? You can
Yeah, let me check for you here real quick, because actually that's really interesting.
I'd be curious as to that, but I went with the Jets on this one as well, kind of just my safe Thursday night pick in terms of you take the home team, you take the favorite. Thursday night is so hard to predict. It's Rex Ryan's return to New York, which will be kind of funny. And he's mm-hmm. obviously trolling the Jets with, you know, naming IK Molly or whatever, however you say
yeah.
As a captain for the game. I mean, that's just pretty classic Rex Ryan. So, so I went with the Jets on this one. I just think in two like closely matched style teams, you just go with the home team on a short week in Buffalo. Not that, you know, or in New York, obviously not that Buffalo has to travel very far, but
right. What do you think they're at rushing and passing?
I would say Buffalo is in the top 10 in rushing, although that's just kind of off the top of my head.
And they're third?
They're third. Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. And then the Jets probably, I would probably say top 5. I don't know. What is it?
21st.
In rushing?
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, that's crazy.
I'm making sure I'm not looking at that wrong. But, yeah, they've got a pretty substantial negative DVOA. Huh. In rushing so far this year.
That's interesting because it seems like Chris Ivory has been doing really well. And
he does. And DVOA is really big about situational, right? So, like, right. If it's 3rd and 15 and you run a draw and get 9 yards, they don't reward that.
Right, right.
It's about, you know, how close to actually
succeeding
that game situation were you. So that's why maybe the traditional stats and these don't line up in this case. But I was shocked that it was that low. Jets, what do you think they are in passing?
Middle somewhere? I have no idea.
Buffalo's 11th and the Jets are 6th.
Well, it shows how much I've been studying these teams closely.
But it also, again, shows how much DVOA, you know, looks at a per opportunity basis, because neither of these teams
efficiency.
Throw it very often. And it's not uncommon to see teams at the top of, you know, passing DVOA be teams that don't do it a ton.
Yeah, yeah, it's all about efficiency. So DVOA, if you're unfamiliar, is, I guess, effectiveness per play.
Yeah, as it relates to opponent and game situation.
Yeah, and DYAR is total effectiveness or whatever the word they want to use, efficiency.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyhow, well, we both picked New York in that one. That's going to be an interesting game.
Just kind of fun to play around with a little bit.
Yeah, no, and that one – I don't feel confident at all. The line is 2.5. For the Jets at home. So, you know, I think Vegas sees Buffalo as a little bit better team, but they're playing on the road. So that's an interesting one. Moving on down the line, we got Detroit at Green Bay. I think this one's probably clear. Detroit is kind of in ruins right now. And you know, obviously they fired a bunch of coordinators. They fired their GM and president, and basically only man left standing is Jim Caldwell. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. What do you have for this game?
Oh, Packers. Yeah. I mean, it's, they're looking to reestablish themselves coming off of back-to-back losses, and you know, it's in Green Bay. I mean, this is just lining up to be a blowout. And I think the line is 11 or 11 and a half. Let's see. Yeah.
11 and like a half right now.
That sounds generous to Detroit to me.
Yeah. So we don't need to spend a whole lot of time on that one. Let's move down the line to Dallas at Tampa Bay. This game probably a little bit closer. The line right now is actually for Tampa Bay. They're favored by 1.5. Dallas has been, I think they've lost 6 or 7 straight games, and, you know, obviously aren't the same team without Tony Romo. But again, it isn't necessarily, it's not all because they missed Tony Romo. I think their defense isn't as strong as it might've been last year. You know, they've got some internal strife with all the Greg Hardy stuff and Dez Bryant. And, I don't know. They're just not playing that well right now. They've lost a whole bunch of games in a row. And then on the other hand, you have Tampa Bay, who's still a pretty bad team, but they're getting better play from Jameis Winston. Kind of starting to put some things together, but not, you know, necessarily an impressive team. I don't think they have a very strong home field advantage either. Who did you pick in this one?
I want to know who you picked in this one.
I picked Tampa Bay, actually.
And
yeah. Don't feel good about it.
Nope, me neither.
But, yeah, because I picked Tampa Bay last week to beat the Giants, and they failed me. And actually, that's where you picked up a game on me. But I kind of just have less confidence in Dallas at this point than I do with Tampa Bay. I think, you know, obviously Mike Evans blew a lot of opportunities last week. He still had 150 yards. I think if he catches a few more of those passes, it could be a different game.
This has to be the first game in NFL history where someone has 150 yards and 6 drops.
It was crazy. And a few of them were like big plays. Like,
oh my gosh. He could have been challenging Antonio Brown's yardage reception if he,
yeah,
you know, had just even a couple of drops instead of 6.
And they were gross.
Right. They were deep passes that he was open.
And they were like gross, like just off, like boink off his hand. Like,
oh yeah, man. Yeah.
But so yeah, I went with Tampa Bay in this one. No real, you know, super, no strong feelings about it. No excellent analysis in terms of, you know, I've got some secret formula. I basically picked the home team for 2 bad teams. What did you get in this one?
I did Tampa Bay as well, and I wrestled with it a lot.
Yeah.
You know, if this is Dallas's last chance to win a game without Tony Romo, I certainly think they're capable enough to do it. But I'm pretty bullish on Jameis Winston, and, mm-hmm, you know, he hasn't turned the ball over in over a month now, and that's amazing adjustment on his part, because it's not like they're throwing it less. He was turning it over a ton early on, and all of a sudden he just doesn't do it anymore. And he's so talented that if he's, you know, if that's really the result of vastly improved discipline, then I think his trajectory increases by a couple of degrees. And I don't really see anything on Dallas team that makes me think they're going to like shut him down or cause him a ton of trouble. But you know, again, it could just easily go the other way. You know, right. I don't know. Both of these teams run the ball pretty well. I just think Tampa Bay passes it a whole lot better, and their defenses are both pretty nondescript. So, Tampa Bay just kind of best of a bad situation with this one.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. We both picked Tampa Bay. But yeah, that game will be one to watch. I mean, not necessarily for the entertainment value, but just, it's probably going to swing. I would guess, let me check out what they're doing on the pick'em group. My guess is it's probably pretty close in terms of, you know, where people are picking that game. Let's see.
It is close. Right now it's 54% Dallas.
Yeah, so there you go. It's going to be a swing game for us, and that'll be a pretty interesting one to watch. Moving down the line, Carolina at Tennessee. Obviously, Tennessee's playing a little bit better. I'm actually doing a write-up right now on Tennessee. kind of their change in philosophy and style with Mike Mularkey at head coach right now. They're kind of trying to be more heavy, like heavy tight ends and punch you in the mouth, run game. You know, Anthony Andrews is the running back now. He's a bigger guy, kind of like a run you over freight train type of dude. They're trying to work to Marcus Mariota's skill set, you know, doing a lot of sprint outs and rollouts and things like that. But I think Carolina looks really good right now, so I can't see Tennessee upsetting Carolina even at home in this one. I pick Carolina. Who did you have in this one?
Oh, Carolina. I mean, we're just kind of running out of yeah buts with regards to Carolina. They're just really good at football. They really are. I mean, they have earned their 8-0. That is not a fluke. Even that Packers game wasn't as close as the final score. I mean, they really took it to them. So, yeah, I think Carolina's legit. I think that they are one of the five best teams in the NFL this year, which is very surprising to me. I thought they'd win 7, maybe 8 games this year. So, yeah, it's Carolina until someone says otherwise. And I don't know it off the top of my head, but I was looking at the rest of their schedule, and I'm not saying that, you know, they're going to go undefeated, but, I mean, they're gonna rack up a lot of wins. This is their remaining schedule. Titans, Redskins, Cowboys, Saints, Falcons, Giants, Falcons, Bucks.
Yeah. I mean, that's all winnable.
Yeah.
It's the NFL, so anything can happen, of course. You have to do that caveat. But, I mean, if you want, like, a favorable end of the season, that is it right there.
Mm-hmm. I would say it's almost a certainty, barring some injury to Cam Newton, that the road to the Super Bowl is going to go through Carolina in the NFC.
Yeah. And I don't know where you were seeing the percentages, but it's like 95% Carolina in this one.
You can hover your mouse over that little question mark.
Oh, 94.64%.
Exactly right. It's 95%.
So I don't know. I mean, obviously this would be a huge upset if Tennessee can pull it off, but I just don't see that happening. Let's move down the line. Chicago at St. Louis. This is kind of a more interesting game after the way that Chicago played on Monday Night Football. You know, their defense kind of stepped up a little bit against Philip Rivers and that Chargers offense. You know, after a really crappy start, Jay Cutler rebounded and, you know, kind of had some fight in him. And then again, you know, obviously St. Louis last week lost on the road in Minnesota. We both picked St. Louis and they kind of let us down there, but they did send it to overtime. It was close. You know, there's kind of the whole dirty hit thing going on right now with St. Louis.
That looked pretty bad.
So who did you have in this game?
I've got the Rams. You know, I don't ever pretend to understand the Rams. I think they are the model of inconsistency in the NFL. And, you know, there's weeks where they look like the absolute pits, just as bad as they've ever been. And they'll look that way for an entire game. And they'll have other games where you're just like, man, who's going to beat them? So, yeah, I don't know. Jeff Fisher is sort of the embodiment of the 8-8 coach. And the Rams are kind of just doing that again this year. But I don't even think they have to play at their best or even super close to their best to beat the Bears. They're definitely different with Cutler and Alshon, you know, on offense. It does make them a dangerous team. But the Chargers are really, really bad and were basically playing with their entire second string against Chicago, and Chicago still needed a couple of penalties to give them that win. I just don't think they're good. I don't see them winning on the road in this one. But, I mean, again, that's banking on the Rams, which
– which you don't like doing.
Right. Yes, that was implied.
Yeah. So we both picked St. Louis in this one. I picked them as well, obviously. I mean, I agree with you completely. It's like Chicago, they're a little bit better than maybe we thought, but they're not like good. And I just think, you know, obviously St. Louis is at home, just have more weapons. You know, they got a really fast, hard hitting defense. It'll be interesting to see how Chicago matches up with them, but I don't see them pulling off that upset. moving down the line, we got New Orleans at Washington. This is kind of an interesting one. You know, obviously it's kind of like two bad middling to bad teams. Obviously it's in Washington. Who'd you have in this one?
I am going with 17% of the pickers and taking the Redskins.
Ooh.
And for me, you know, I mean, I just hate the Redskins on principle. I think they're an absolute clown show, but so are the Saints, I think. And, you know, the Saints had that run where I think they won four games or four out of five games and were scoring a bunch of points and looking like they were back to being in threat to beat anybody. But this team cannot play defense. They have the worst defense in right. the NFL by just about every traditional and analytical way of evaluating them. They can't stop anybody. And the Redskins offense looks a lot better with Kirk Cousins and now Jordan Reed being healthy, DeSean Jackson coming back. They have all three of their running backs. I mean, there's playmakers on that offense now. So I do think Washington has the bullets in the gun to score a bunch of points against the Saints. I think the Saints will get theirs too. But, you know, I was looking through the overwhelming majority, over four out of five people are picking the Saints in this one. But you go through and look at it, and, yeah, the Saints are seventh on – offense, but they're 32nd in defense, 27th special teams, and you know they're still the 22nd ranked team overall by DVOA. Washington is ranked higher at 19. They're the home team. This wasn't as hard for me as most kind of upset picks would be. I've got the Redskins, and I actually feel pretty good about it.
Interesting. I picked the Saints in this one. I don't know. I just don't have any faith in Washington. They haven't been able to run the ball the last couple of weeks. I don't really trust them to put Kirk Cousins, you know, put it on his back to win the game. I just, you know, obviously that he had that one game against the Bucks, but basically this came down for me. It came down to these are two bad teams all around, pretty much. I mean, New Orleans obviously has a good offense, but oof, that defense is awful. Mm-hmm. For me, it came down to the quarterback, really. Like, I just trust Drew Brees more than I trust Kirk Cousins, and that was kind of it. And I mean, I definitely understand where you're coming from in terms of, you know, with Washington getting back some of their, you know, offensive weapons and all that. I just don't trust Kirk Cousins. So sure. I think he's going to turn the ball over a few times, and that will be enough for New Orleans to win on the road. So that'll be another one to watch. You said 17% of the people are taking Washington?
Yeah.
Well, that could be kind of another swing pick right there. So let's move down the line to Miami at Philadelphia. The Eagles are coming off a win in Dallas. That was a big win for them, obviously. You know, again, it's kind of – they followed along the same pattern as they – even when they win, they don't look very impressive. What do you have in this game?
Well, I've got the Eagles, and, you know, Miami looks like they kind of rode that new coach high for a couple of games. And, you know, I do believe in that effect. If you're playing for a coach that you're not winning for and no one seems to really like and doesn't inspire you, and you get a guy that does inspire you and is new and gives you some more freedoms and kind of switches things up and all of that, you know, I do believe in the emotional and psychological advantage that that can give, but it takes a while to introduce and establish a whole new identity and a new culture, which is what that team needs. And I think we've seen the last 2 weeks that they're still a long ways away, despite all the talent that they have. Losing Cameron Wake is huge for them. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they're going to get any pressure. I think they're last in the NFL in sacks. Which makes it really hard on their DBs, and it makes guys like Brent Grimes look worse than they are because they have to cover for so much longer. I think the Eagles are starting to figure some things out. They're scoring the ball on a lot higher percentage of their drives lately. They're starting to get that kind of identity, and their defense is really, really good. A lot better than I expected. I didn't think they'd be bad, but you know, I think that the Eagles defense, yeah, they're number six overall. So, I just don't think Miami's good enough to beat that, especially in Philly, where there is a real home field advantage.
There you go. And I actually picked Philly as well. I think that's well said. I think with Cam Wake out, that really does affect Miami a lot. He was a really key player for them. I think Philadelphia feels like they're kind of getting it together, though I think we've probably said that a few times this year. But they do kind of feel like they're getting things together. Sam Bradford's kind of figuring some things out. So I just kind of went with the home team here. I mean, they're favored by 6.5. I don't know if I felt confident enough in Miami to go against that. So that was kind of what I went with that. Moving down the line.
I just want to say one more thing about the Eagles and why I'm really bullish on them down the stretch. They've won through the last four games and have in the last month, they have a scoring differential of plus 37. You know, they're winning by a lot. They're starting to really score a lot of points, and they're still not, you know, they haven't allowed a lot of points all season. So I think the Eagles are really setting up for a nice run, especially in that really soft NFC East.
Yeah, don't they have a pretty easy schedule going forward? I can't remember.
They've got a number of really easy games. They've got a pretty brutal three-game stretch. They have a really potentially easy-looking three-game stretch coming up where they can get healthy, Dolphins, Bucks, and Lions. But right after that, it goes Patriots, Bills, Cardinals. So I don't think it's really easy. They finish with Redskins, Giants, which might be coin toss games for them. You know, especially until Jason Peters gets back. I mean, we're talking about one of the truly great offensive linemen in the league, and he's been out, but they haven't really missed a beat. So I think the Eagles are starting to establish an identity that can carry them through, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them finish with close to 10 wins for all the troubles they've had.
Yeah, well, that'll be interesting. Moving down the line, we have a kind of an interesting one because it's two teams without a real clear quarterback here. We got Cleveland at Pittsburgh. Obviously, Ben Roethlisberger is 95% surely to be out of this one with a sprained foot. I don't think we know yet who's starting for Cleveland. It's either going to be Josh McCown if he's healthy, or obviously Johnny Manziel if he's not. It's in Pittsburgh. Who do you have in this one?
I got the Steelers. I mean, they're obviously going to be worse with Landry Jones than Ben Roethlisberger, but it's not the kind of drop-off they saw when Mike Vick was in there. And with, you know, with a timing-based offense, I mean, all offenses are timing-based, but, you know, Pittsburgh relies on a lot of precision with their offense because they move extremely quickly, and they don't spend a lot of time letting plays set up. They try and beat you right away early in the play. And with Michael Vick, it took him so long to go through his reads and so long to go through his throwing motion that almost every play became scramble ball because their timing is based on it being really, really fast reads. And Landry Jones has shown that he can do that. And the offenses move the ball pretty well with him in the game when he's had to play. So against a better team, I might hedge on this one, but I think Pittsburgh is a really good football team, and I have always loved D'Angelo Williams. I am so happy to see him just still killing it. How amazing is he?
Yeah, 170 yards last week in addition to 284 receiving yards for
So get this, 476 combined yards from scrimmage between Antonio Brown's and D'Angelo Williams.
That's pretty insane. Yeah, I don't even think that Oakland's defense hadn't been that bad.
No.
Before that, so that was weird. But, I Cleveland's defense isn't very good this year. I think Pittsburgh is still going to be okay moving the football.
Obviously, the Browns don't have Whitner or Hayden now?
Oh, geez. Yeah, so, okay, there you go. And that makes me feel even better about picking Pittsburgh. It's in Pittsburgh. I think there's more on the line for them. I don't know. This one is one of those that you don't really get too cute on. I think you just pick the home team because it's, you know, in theory, two bad teams. But I think Pittsburgh's not even that bad, even with the Landry.
No, I really don't. They're the number seven team in DVOA right now. I have loved them since before the season, and I don't think we're talking about a bad team even with Landry Jones. I think everything else about them has been good enough to overcome the fact that it's a backup.
Yeah. Now, we're talking bad teams. This next game on the slate is two bad teams. But, again, Baltimore, how bad are they? I don't know. Where are they with DVOA these days? Because I know early on in their...
Yeah, Baltimore is a funny team at 2-6 because they're in the just barely in the top half of the NFL at 16th overall. So
now, obviously, they're at without Steve Smith this week, I should say, for the whole season. So that's kind of a big deal for them. You know, he was their main star, and he actually probably won them a few games with some of the crazy plays he made early on. Not a few, but at least one, I know. But then you have on the other side, you have Jacksonville, who just is bad. I mean, they looked better against the Jets last week, and they almost kind of made a comeback before shooting themselves in the foot multiple times. So I don't know. Is this game, I guess, kind of hard to pick? But I just went with the home team on this one. I picked Baltimore. I don't think Jacksonville is good, but I guess they could surprise them. I don't feel confident in this pick at all, but I went with Baltimore. Who did you get in this one?
Yeah, Baltimore. I still think Baltimore is a better team. Although Jacksonville has jumped up from 31st in DVOA to 20th in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I think Bortles is starting to look like a real deal NFL quarterback. And he's got some real weapons in those Allens, too.
Mm-hmm.
Allen Robinson, he's a legit wide receiver one. And I think lots of good things with the Elden. But the defense is still bad. They can't stop anybody. And, you know, Baltimore is definitely going to miss Steve Smith, especially since Torrey Smith is out of town. They don't really have, like, a go-to guy. But Justin Forsett's having another nice year. And defense, I think, is good enough to at home kind of hold against Jacksonville. I wouldn't be shocked if they lost this game, but I don't know. I still think Baltimore is a better team, and they are at home, so I don't see a lot of reason to pick Jacksonville.
Yeah, moving down the line, this is another good game, I think, for this week. This is an afternoon game if you're on the Pacific side. The 105 start Oakland. It's Minnesota at Oakland. I like Oakland a lot. You know, their defense looked like it got exposed a lot last week, but then again, Pittsburgh has done that to some people. Minnesota kind of scraped out a win against the Rams. That's a tough win at home. But at the same time, it didn't necessarily give me a ton of confidence in them. I don't really know how to feel about Minnesota still. They might be one of those enigma teams for me this year. Who do you have in this game?
I really am developing a loathing for the Vikings, which I mean, they've got a lot of players that I really, really like. You know, I think Adrian Peterson is still probably the best overall running back in the NFL. And I like Bridgewater, and I think Stephon Diggs is great, and Anthony Barr, and all kinds of guys. But they just keep winning close games, and against bad teams, and that's making their record better than they are. I mean, we're still talking about probably one of the 6 or 7 worst teams in the NFL. I truly believe that. So I like the Raiders a lot. Raiders are 12th in DVOA right now. The Raiders are 4th in points per drive in the NFL.
Yeah.
They're getting 2.2 points per drive, which, I mean, that's just a ton of points. And it hasn't mattered who they played. I mean, the Jets defense has been excellent this year, and they absolutely torched them. Derek Carr, statistically, he's been the best quarterback in the NFL the last 3 weeks. So I think the Raiders are good. I think the Raiders, they're the team that I'm really hoping makes the playoffs, because there is a lot to like about them. They're at home. We're talking about the 12th best team. If you buy into DVOA, and this is the point of the season where it really starts to stabilize historically, we're talking about the 12th best team hosting the 26th best team. And I don't care what the records say. I think the Raiders are considerably better than the Vikings. So I have them. I don't think they're going to, like, blow them out or anything. But I feel pretty comfortable about choosing the Raiders in this one.
Nice. And I actually picked the Raiders as well. I'm kind of in the same boat as you. Like, I still don't trust the Vikings. I think obviously they're 6-2 and tied for first in the NFC North with the Packers and all that, but I don't know, for whatever reason, they just still don't instill a lot of confidence in me. I do like Oakland a lot because of their offense. I think their defense is a lot better than they looked last week. So I went with the home team on this one. I've said it multiple times this year that Oakland is pretty dangerous at home. And I think this game will be no exception. I think that they'll get the win this week there. Kansas City at Denver. This is a pretty interesting game from the sense that, Denver, you know, they're coming off a win. They're coming off a game they should have won, I should say, against the Colts. they kind of, I think maybe they like overlooked the Colts or something. I don't know what happened there, but all of a sudden Indianapolis came alive and actually could, you know, throw the ball and, you know, whatever, defend. Not that Oakland's defense or offense is any good, but they could play defense and you know, obviously pass on the best defense in the NFL, which was pretty surprising. So it'll be interesting to see how Denver bounces back this week. I think they're going to be out a couple guys. I think Talib is going to be out with a suspension, and then DeMarcus Ware is out with a back injury, so that kind of can affect it. I still have no idea how good the Chiefs are. I think they're not very good, but I want to say they've maybe won a couple of games in a row now. So, and they're coming off their bye, so it makes for an interesting matchup. It's a divisional road or a divisional road matchup for the Chiefs, but you know, division games are always interesting. Who do you have in this one?
The Chiefs are a really tempting pick this week, and right now 96% of the people playing are picking the Broncos.
Wow.
Which is the smart pick and is my pick. The Broncos will win this one. But I think that that exaggerates the difference between these teams. So I think the Chiefs are actually pretty good. They're 11th in DVOA. They're 9th on offense, believe it or not, even having lost Jamal Charles. They're very, very efficient. Alex Smith continues to do what Alex Smith does. They're very good at keeping drives going. But Denver is still the best defense in the NFL. And, you know, the way that you beat Indianapolis is set up to beat great defenses. Let me try and rephrase that, because you guys remember they beat the 2013 Seahawks, and they beat them by going up over the top. I mean, if you have an offense that has the skill set and willingness to take big shots and try and get big chunk yardage, that's how you beat great defenses. You only got to hit three or four of those. And if everything clicks and you do hit three or four, you can beat a great defense the way they did against Seattle a couple years ago and against Denver last week. You're not going to beat a Denver team the way that Kansas City plays offense, where you have to get 5-6 first downs before you get any points. Denver's too good for that to let you beat them consistently for 10 or 12 plays on a drive. You got to steal one. And I don't think the Chiefs are capable, especially without Jamal Charles, of stealing touchdowns the way that you need to.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I didn't overthink it all, so I just went with Denver. But, I mean, I think it is an interesting matchup. You know, I still, you know, like the Chiefs, they're efficient on offense. Like you said, they're still, you know, I think, what do you say, 9th in DVOA on offense?
Yeah.
And you know, that kind of points to their philosophy and style and all that, but I just don't think they'll be able to move the ball very well against Denver, even without some of Denver's key players out. So, yeah, I went with Denver on this one. I don't feel real confident about it, but just kind of didn't get cute, I guess, is what is kind of like.
I just think the disparity in picks is bigger than the disparity in talent on this one.
Yeah, let's go to New England at New York. Surprisingly, it's only a 7-point spread. Though I guess New York has kind of been New England's bane over the last decade, you know. So I guess maybe that factors in. I'm not sure exactly why, because the pick'em is actually, well, it's 87% in favor of New England. When I picked earlier, it was a little closer, more closely matched. But who do you have in this one? I could guess, but who do you have in this one?
I took the Patriots. Because they're better by a lot. I mean, what we're seeing from the Patriots right now is, I mean, it's like watching the Spurs play basketball. You keep wanting to hate them, but you just have to convince yourself to. You gotta come up with non-football reasons to hate the Patriots. The Patriots have put a lot of those out there, but when you watch them play football, it's perfect. It's the result of one coach spending his whole life obsessed with perfecting the game of football, and we're seeing the culmination of that right now. They're great. They're great. I'm not going to be surprised if they go 16-0 this year. I think they're that good. And it's crazy because this is Tom Brady's billionth season, and there weren't, like, any crazy offseason splashes. And losing Deion Lewis is going to hurt, but it's just never mattered with Belichick. He's – the best at adapting game plans for next man up. And so, I've got the Patriots. I don't really like the Giants. I think that they're kind of a true talent 7-win team. that's going to benefit an extra win or two from a bad division. And yeah, I took the Patriots. I think that they are, they look like the Spurs did a couple years ago, where they just do everything right all the time.
Yeah, and they can do it like in a different style every week too, mm-hmm. which is crazy. Like, I mean, I think they ran the ball 37 times last week after like the, you know, a couple weeks ago running it only like five times or seven times.
Yeah, six times, yep.
So they can just kind of like switch into different styles. It's like, you know, it's just hard to comprehend, but it all starts with Brady. He's just he's in complete control out there. He's seeing the field like nobody else sees it. He gets the ball out quicker than anyone. Yeah, he's ridiculous. So moving down the line, this will be an interesting one to hear what you have to say. I mean, I picked New England as well on that, obviously, but moving down the line, we got Arizona at Seattle. That's the Sunday night game. Obviously it's a good one. And the way Vegas has, you know, put the line right now, it's got Seattle favored by 3 at home. Typically, home teams get a 3-point spread or 3 points. And so, I mean, obviously, Vegas sees these teams as pretty equally matched. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think just going by that line, they actually see the Cardinals as a better team, which I think is accurate. Seattle typically gets closer to 5 points for their home field advantage. Okay. And, you know, obviously, their record over the last, you know, ever since that stadium was built, really, at home, sort of justifies that. They have the biggest deviation from expected wins when it comes to home field advantage since that stadium was built. I think the Cardinals are better than the Seahawks, and I mean, you have to try really hard to counter that argument, I think. That said, at home, the Seahawks are the best team in the NFL still. And Pete Carroll's record in primetime in Seattle is now something like 17-2, 18-2, something like that, which that's a large enough sample size where it's not coincidence or anything like that. What we're seeing from the Seahawks defense the last couple of games has been complete total domination. You know, in the last two fourth quarters combined, and Matt Nichols actually brought this up on the Cigar Thoughts podcast, which should post around the same time as this one. In the last two fourth quarters combined, Seattle has given up 21 feet of offense.
I know, 7 yards.
7 yards. Like, this is crazy. So all of this, you know, the narrative about the fourth quarter, the offense not being able to sustain drives, defense not being able to stop anyone, over the last two games has been the complete inverse of that. They've looked great. The Seahawks never get blown out, and so it really does come down to, in close games, it really does come down to fourth quarter production, execution, et cetera. And I buy what I've seen the last 2 weeks. They're getting pressure on quarterbacks at an unbelievable rate. You know, it's even against Dallas, which has arguably the best offensive line, they really were aggressive. They've given up one touchdown to a wide receiver this year. That's and Arizona crazy. Gets like all of their touchdowns from their wide receivers. So I think that and that was on that free play, you know, yeah. alien throw that Aaron Rodgers had in week two.
Yep.
To James Jones. You remember the one where he looked off Earl Thomas and then threw it like 40 yards while backpedaling?
Yeah.
That's the only touchdown to a receiver they've given up this year. And I buy into that. I don't think that's a fluke either. I think that Seattle is uniquely designed to stop a team like the Cardinals with their offense. That said, the Cardinals' defense has been great. Their pass defense is all world. Their offense clicks on every cylinder. You know, it's – Chris Johnson is, what, the second leading rusher in the NFL. Carson Palmer's having a career year. All their receivers are clicking. I think they right now their talent is playing at a higher level than the Seahawks. But I think the Seahawks win because of home field advantage. I think the Seahawks win because their defense is going to keep Arizona under 20. And I think I've seen enough from the offense that they can control the game clock and move the ball. So that was a lot of words, but I think the Seahawks win this one at home.
No, I mean, I was just about to say really, really well said, like argument, really well stated. I agree with you. I think the Seahawks are going to win. I picked the Seahawks. I think, you know, I don't have the stat in front of me, but I'm guessing when Pete Carroll is given, you know, 10 to 14 days to prepare, his record is really good. And then obviously when you mix in the fact that it's a home game on national television, I just think everything points to the Seahawks in this one. Their backs are against the wall. Like, really, you know, obviously the Cardinals, want this game and need this game as well. But I think if Seattle loses this, there's pretty much no chance they can win the division. It really hurts their playoff, you know, standing. I think they're just, you know, this is kind of like that come to Jesus time for the Seahawks. And so I think they're going to be really amped up and ready to go. Not that, you know, they necessarily need to be to win, but to me, it just looks like the needle is pointing in Seattle's direction for this game, I think. But that said, I do think the Cardinals are really, really good, and they have beaten the Seahawks at home, you know, in recent memory. So it's not like something out of the question or unheard of. So it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a really good Sunday night game. I think turnover, you know, we've talked about how the turnover battle is really important this year. And then obviously it's kind of gone the other direction. I think the turnover battle is actually going to be the deciding factor in this game. And so if Seattle can win that, I think they will win the game. I don't think it's going to be another one of those outlier games where they win even with three turnovers or whatever. I think that's going to be huge for them in this one. And so that and special teams, I think, are going to be key factors. Of course, I think getting the field position game going and playing the field position game is what Seattle wants to do in this one. And obviously limiting the deep shots that Arizona takes is going to be really key. So those are the kind of things I'll be looking at. But I like Seattle in this game.
Yeah, I do too. But I'll say this. If the Cardinals go in to Seattle and win it, that means Carson Palmer is the first quarterback to win two games in Seattle in, what, this decade?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And, I mean, it would legitimize the Cardinals. There's a lot of people saying, you know, they've pretty much only beat bad teams, which, you know, read into that what you want. If they win in Seattle, they're new cocks of the walk in the NFC West for sure.
The new sheriff in town?
Yeah. And I love Arians too. I don't care. I love Bruce Arians. I think that dude rules. He's the best villain. I cheer for the villains in superhero movies. I think he's awesome. I think that he's a perfect new foil post-Harbaugh for Pete Carroll.
No doubt. Okay, well, that's cool. I guess we're so far, just to sum up, I mean, obviously we're on to the last game here, but we only have one difference so far in opinion. That would be the New Orleans-Washington game, so that's the one to watch for us. I'm guessing you picked Cincinnati in this one.
Yeah, for sure. The Bengals are really, really good. The Texans are really, really bad, and it's in Cincinnati.
Yeah. I will say, if you haven't noticed, Tyler Eifert is a superstar yet. He is a superstar. That dude has, what does he have, 9 touchdowns now already? And he's, like, pretty much been unstoppable in the red zone. I think he's, like, converting on a crazy amount of his red zone targets. And that's taking away the one that he scored and they took away from him, you know, mm-hmm. where he dropped the ball at the very end. You know, that's kind of the catch rule in effect. But this dude is really, really good. And, you know, I think on a team like Bengals where they have A.J. Green, they've got a lot of stars. Andy Dalton's, you know, kind of like a visible player. Even with all their success, he's still kind of flying under the radar a little bit. He is really ridiculously good.
Yep. And you know who I think maybe the most underrated person in the NFL this year is Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, that guy's awesome.
Like Andy Dalton's the highest rated passer in the NFL, I believe. Andy Dalton is. Like, Hugh Jackson has defenses guessing and on their feet and always creates one mismatch somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, on a pass play, he will move chess pieces around pre-snap relentlessly until there is one mismatch there, whether it's Eifert versus smaller guy or A.J. Green got matched up on the third corner or whatever. They will just keep moving guys around until the defense is in a bad spot and Dalton knows how to find that guy. Like, what Hugh Jackson's doing in Cincinnati is fucking beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be cool to be, you know, a Bengals fan just because they have so many weapons and they actually, like, utilize them. You know what I mean? Like, they get the most out of all their weapons. They get the most out of Giovanni Bernard. They get a lot out of Jeremy Hill. They use Mohamed Sanu in ways that make a lot of sense. They use A.J. Green, obviously, in ways that make a ton of sense. Eifert is, like, the joker of all jokers in the NFL right now.
Yep.
You know, they've got a couple other guys I haven't even mentioned, like that receive the running back they've converted into a receiver. They've got all these, like, different, like, tools. Obviously, Marvin Jones is underrated. So, man, that's
well, the thing about the Bengals skill position players, they are like stupid athletic, even by NFL standards. I mean, just crazy size and explosiveness and agility. And what, you know, Mohamed Sanu and Marvin Jones will probably never be focal points of the offense and, you know, whatever. Kind of, you're never going to design an offense around either of those guys. But if you have those guys on a team where they can match up against the third or fourth best defender and not, you know, the first or second, they are so crazy athletic that 2-3 times a game, each of them just shows out where you're just like, holy cow, I can't believe that they did that catch or that hurdle or the spin move or whatever it is. Like, they're crazy, crazy athletes, but they only are relied on to make 2 or 3 plays a game because they've got A.J. Green and Giovanni Bernard and Tyler Eifert and Jeremy Hill. You know, it's amazing. Their fifth and sixth options on that offense are bonkers athletic.
Yeah. Ah, man, they're good. They're a good team. If the Patriots weren't in the AFC, or if they weren't in the AFC, I would say that they were the favorites in the AFC. But, I mean, they got to get past New England, of course. Did you have any against the spread picks for us this week?
Yeah, I do. I think that, well, I have Washington as a Vegas upset, so that's a natural cover there is one. I think the Bears do cover the 7.5 that St. Louis is giving them. That one really surprised me. And I've got Tampa Bay covering their 1.5 against Dallas, not because I think that they're so much better, but because I picked them to win, and I'm betting on them not winning by exactly one.
There you go. Cool. Well, that's the show for this week, unless Jackson has anything else to add.
You know, I was just going to ask you a question. I know we kind of teased the show at the beginning of the season on Real and the Field Goals by Kenny asked us to pick who we thought our final four would be. And I'm curious what you think right now, halfway through the season, your final four teams, 2 in the AFC, 2 in the NFC, would be?
Yeah, man, that's tough. I think I would probably, if we're talking final four, I would probably put the Bengals and the Patriots in that group. I think I picked the Steelers last time, and I still like the Steelers too, but I don't know. I just don't, the Bengals are looking really, really strong now. And then in the NFC, I don't remember who I picked. I think I picked the Seahawks. But right now, to me, it's looking like man, this is tough. I would say the Panthers and then either the Packers or Cardinals look like the best bet. And I lean towards the Cardinals. So I guess I would say the Panthers and Cardinals.
Yeah, I think before the season – I was thinking about this the other day, what the combined record of my final four is right now, because I had Colts and Steelers, mm-hmm. and then Seahawks and Eagles. So yeah, we're talking about a bunch of basically 500 teams,
yeah.
A little low. So that said, I'm saying Patriots and Steelers in the AFC. I'm really, really bullish on the Steelers, and I've got Carolina and Arizona in the NFC.
Man, it's getting interesting. We're at the halfway point, more or less. I think is there any teams that haven't played 8 games yet? I think no. I think we're past the halfway point now.
Yeah, is this the last week of byes, or is there a week 11?
I don't know off the top of my head.
It would suck to not have had your bye yet.
Oh, man.
Teams are so freaking ragged.
Yeah. Battle of attrition. Yep. And, I mean, we're seeing that in a lot of places, especially with Pittsburgh, honestly. And they're kind of surviving it so far. Well,
competitive every week. Tomlin's a great coach, man. That organization has had some hell of a run on head coaches.
Yeah, they have. They are a well-run company in general.
Yep.
All right. Well, I guess that's it. Obviously, follow us on iTunes. Go ahead and subscribe on iTunes. Make sure you check out Field Goals' other podcast. Real and the Field Goals is on Thursdays. The Real and the Field Goals instant reactions on Sunday nights usually, or if they play on, you know, it basically just follows every game. NFL or 3000 NFL mock draft with Kenneth Arthur and Rob Staten is a great one. Make sure you follow that. And yeah, just make sure you go and sign up for our ESPN Pigskin Pick'em thing, and it's under Field Goals Deep Balls, and make your picks there. And yeah, I guess we'll see you next week.
Later.